you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
It's time for our behind-the-scenes mini-sode time and an accidental science week that we're having this week. We didn't plan for it to be science week, but it is.
It happens that way. It's always funny to me because often Tracy and I don't always consult each other on what we're working on. At this point, we've both done so many that we don't really, you know, need to check in all that much. But every once in a while, this happens where we both seem to be on the same wavelength and we do slightly related episodes.
Yeah, science time. Yeah, usually at most there's sort of an FYI check-in stop of what the topic is, or if it's something that one of us knows is sort of more difficult subject territory for the other, they'll be sort of a, hey, just as it, are we okay to talk about this week?
Yeah.
So in my life, I have always struggled and continue to struggle with basic arithmetic. But then when I got into like more complicated mathematics and then like into more mathematically involved physics and chemistry and stuff like that in school, I actually did pretty well in all of that. But the work that Shansheng Wu was doing in experimental, you know, subatomic physics, I don't understand. I watched so many explanatory videos on beta decay, basically, I get on a basic level. But I watched so many videos that were about her experiment and about what parity is and about a lot of the more general state of the field of experimental physics at the time. And I'd be like, okay, I don't feel like I understand what this means. It's weird. I felt like I was pretty good as a physics student until I got to this episode.
The thought in my head is so weird, I'm reluctant to say it. But I'm gonna. I feel like I'm gonna sound like a crazy person. Come with me. I feel like this is one of those places where having studied Samuel Beckett really helps me.
Huh.
Here's why. Because there is a level of just
acceptance with Beckett. Like, you have to understand that you don't always grasp all of what it is. And you just accept it, and then you're in the material, and it sort of starts to make its own weird logical sense. And I feel like that same thing, I am a little bit better now at applying to things like physics that are difficult concepts, and it kind of makes a weird sense to me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Where I'm like, oh, yes, of course, the mirror image of parody makes absolutely, of course that makes sense. But if anybody ever had to really get a scientific explanation, I would be like, let's consult a book.
Nope. Yeah. There was a whole lot of physics head shaking. I also really appreciated the fact that there is a biography of Chan Zhengwu. And it was actually written in China in Chinese and translated into English. And one of the things that folks who read a lot of literature that is outside of where they grew up and the language they speak, one of the things that people notice is the way different cultures address language and address the craft of how you put a story together. Like, there can be differences. And it was really interesting to me to read this biography, which was written in Chinese. Translated into English, that like the structure of it was a little different from what I am used to. There was like more repeating of previous material at the beginning of a chapter, which I just found to be fascinating, and was like, it led me down a whole rabbit hole of like, is this a more common way of structuring a story in China and in Chinese, or is that this like this one particular writer's style? And so now I'm very curious.
I wonder, too, I do not speak Chinese, but my understanding is that there are not conjugations of verb tense in Chinese. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a verb conveys future or past. It's all sort of now. Mm-hmm. So I suspect in translation that might lead to some of that repetition, where it seems like it's the same thing coming up again and again. But in fact, it probably through nuance was conveyed as being framed in different ways on the timeline would be my guess.
Yeah. Okay. That's fascinating too. that kind of reminds me of how occasionally when I will need to run some like French through Google Translate, that gets really confused about the gender of anything because, you know, all the nouns, there's right. The le and the la. And when you speak French, you will understand that you were talking about her dog. But suddenly Google Translate will be like, his dog. And I'm like, no, you're just confused, Google Translate. neither of us as Chinese speakers is very amazing at pronouncing Chinese words.
No, they're very, very difficult for me. And as I've said loud last week's Casual Friday, or not last week's, but several back, I think, I tend to speak everything with a French accent, which is a garbage way to do it. And I'm trying to cure myself of that very, very bad habit.
Yeah. Our pronunciations on this one did come from Mandarin Chinese speakers. And then we did our best to try to render that accurately. So fingers crossed that we did okay, and apologies if we did not.
So Tracy, I have to confess that in recent years, I have felt a large degree of guilt over every time that I ever inhaled helium to make my voice sound silly.
Oh, yeah?
Now knowing that it is a finite resource that we kind of live on a precipice of running out of all the time.
I don't think I've come to that point, but when we had that conversation at the top of the episode about how I was the person that had to go get the little helium tank and balloons for my brother's wedding, like it was the smallest tank that was available at the, you know, party supply store. But I did start feeling kind of guilty by the end that what I wound up doing with it was when I moved and I was like, I still have this little helium tank. I basically brought it to the How Stuff Works video department. And who knows? Who knows whether it made its way into some kind of video use after
that point?
Probably.
They're a resourceful group.
They are very resourceful.
Yeah, I also just, I know I messaged you about it while I was working on it, but I was so pleased that this had an instance in this episode of scientists who could have gotten into an argument over who should get credit for their work, but instead became best friends. To me, that's the sweetest thing on earth.
Well, and like to some extent, I get it when there are big scientific disputes because, I mean, sometimes those kind of discoveries really make or break somebody's career. So I understand. But at the same time, they can become so acrimonious.
Yeah, it's we talked about this a little bit in our Saul Hertz episode as well. Like there's that part of me that just is sad because I'm a little bit of an idealist and I want the pursuit of knowledge to be this pure and beautiful thing and everybody to work together and cheer each other. But as you said, there are high stakes in terms of people's livelihoods, and it does make sense that there would be moments of disparity between people. I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to fix the human condition. But I'm pleased that in this one instance, related to observing the sun without the need for an eclipse and figuring out how to use a spectroscope for any time viewing, it resulted in a nearly four-decade close friendship.
I really appreciated that by total coincidence, we did this episode after our earlier episode of the week, because when I was working on Qiansheng Wu, I really was like, I felt like the understanding of what she was talking about was on the other side of a wall in my mind that I was banging my head against. And then we got to come over to helium, which included like all my favorite types of things from when I took physics and astronomy. And I was like, yay, yay, yes. my brain can still do science. It just can't do some beta decay parody in a subatomic physics situation.
Yes, elemental signatures in the visible light spectrum is good stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it as I said in the episode, it's one of those things that I can wrap my brain around what's happening, but I'm still wowed when astronomers and astrophysicists today look at a new thing that we've discovered out in the vast expanse of space, and they're like, "Oh, we think it's made of this and this," and I'm always like, "Wow." Because I love it, and I love science. I always feel like a little bit, you know, my science grasp is hit or miss, I find, but I still love it so deeply, and I love that there are people who use their incredible intellect for the betterment of our understanding of our place in the universe. To me, that's like one of the noblest pursuits.
For sure. And if there are folks that are like, man, why is it so much science? I don't know what you're working on for next time. But next time, what I'm working on is very far away from what we are talking about this week.
Yeah, same. I always want to talk about science, but I know I do it a lot. I almost had a moment, one of the people, while I was researching this episode, there was a person that came up, and then it became about photographing the moon. And I was like, no, get away. You've done so many moon episodes this year.
Yeah. I responded to a couple of listener suggestion emails that we got over the past week with basically, yeah, that is actually on my short list for a thing, but it has so many overlapping themes with stuff we've just done that I'm trying to save it for a little bit later. Yeah. That doesn't always work out. We still have runs of a similar theme on the show, but, you know, we try.
Yeah, it happens. And then, as we said, this was completely coincidental that we both picked science this time.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's just how it goes.
Yep.
We're on whatever, we're both in the science zone for whatever reason.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.